Second hour, Darren Donica Chase here on this Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com is where you can find his work. Terry, just want to say on behalf of the show, our heartfelt condolences to you and the Yankees. We are extremely saddened by what happened last
night. Yeah, don't send Judge home.
Did you see the New York Post? You've been in our thoughts.
Did you see the New York Post headline?
I know you guys. This is all completely phony. You guys hate these.
I couldn't even sleep last night. I'm just telling you right now. I tossed and turned all night knowing that the Yankees were done.
Terry, are you aware of the New York Post headline?
What does it say?
Garrett bleeping Cole.
Nice. I tell you, but it wasn't all Garrett Cole because, the bullpen came in and up until – Chad Green brought his gas can to the mound. They did okay. But to me, this Yankees team, I've been saying it all year long, they are severely flawed. They don't have guys who put the ball in play. They're up there swinging for home runs, and they've got these one-dimensional liability-type players like Gary Sanchez, Joey Gallo, that need to be gone. It's time for a rebuild. You keep Judge, you keep Stanton, you keep LeMahieu, you keep some of the pitchers, you get rid of these guys who just can't help you, like Sanchez, Gallo, Gardner's done, Rougned Odor, those type guys, Chad Green, those guys are done. They can't help you. They're liabilities at the plate. Go get a guy that gets 200 hits a year, not a guy that gets 200 strikeouts a year.
Terry, are you with the Yankees play-by-play announcer John Sterling that Giancarlo Stanton got robbed? His single should have been a home run. Do you agree with him?
I don't know. I mean, that ball, it hit the top of the wall. So, it was very
Have you heard the call? Have you heard
no,
the call?
No, I haven't.
Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh.
I watched, obviously the TV broadcast, and they were fooled, too. They thought that was out. But it in that cold, cool kind of died there and hit the wall because it looked for all the world like it was going completely out of the park.
I do think, in fairness to him, every single one of us watching that game thought that ball was going over everything. It was going to hit the Sitco
sign. He
said
it was out of the park.
Yes, he did.
He said it went out of the park.
It didn't go well for him.
It went off the wall, and he said it went out of the park.
Well, then
went into his whole.
What did I miss? What did I not see?
Oh, well, I don't listen to John Sterling very much. I listen to Michael Kay. I think he's very good.
I think he's excellent. I think John Sterling is excellent as well. He's been doing this a long time. He's just getting up there in age. And I don't think he was at the park. Or I know there's been a lot of games where he hasn't.
Yeah, probably
traveled.
Not. But to me, the best combination is Michael Kay with David Cone. That's an excellent pair.
Yeah, here it is for
Not
you,
Not quite
Terry.
As good as Phil Rizzuto and Bobby Mercer, but close.
Here we go. Here it is for you.
The pitch to Stanton. Drew, there it goes. Deep left, it is high. It is far. That is gone out of the ballpark. A Stantonian home run. Now, what did I do wrong? What did I see wrong? He's at first base.
Awkward.
Oh, boy.
What did I see
again,
wrong? He's at first base.
I wake up in cold sweats that this will happen. This happens to play-by-play announcers. And John Sterling is how old now? He's over 80.
He's
right?
in the 80s,
He's
for
in his
sure.
80s. Oh, boy.
He's got to be in his 80s.
Like to have back.
That's one you'd like to have back.
What did I see wrong? He's at first base. How about he hit it out of the park?
And here, Terry, is it too much to ask Giancarlo to get the second base on that ball?
Yeah, I think he thought it was out, too. So
yeah. Oh, he absolutely did. He threw the bat. He watched it.
Yeah. But, he needs to get the second on that ball.
Well, look, I just wanted to let you know, you're in our thoughts. it was tough for us to even come on the air, but we wanted to get you on because – we wanted to try to cheer you up, and we're down two, so we're trying to cheer everybody up.
Thank you.
I'm great.
Yankees have been eliminated.
You know, I could take shots here, but I won't.
Okay. All right. That's
I know the 30 right. championships. This is the, what? All the
Terry.
It's after 11. Shots
Terry, hint taken. I'll move on.
Mr. Guardian.
It looks see, there was no need. I had already told you I was going to move on. I was not going to say another word. It looks like the Titans are trying to give some people some good news. You know, it is the month of October. It is Halloween. And I think they're going to bring a ghost back. It looks like Darrington Evans may be close to returning. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like it. You know, Mike Vrabel said on Monday that he should be able to practice. The thing is, you know, I know that Darrington Evans can help you as a kickoff returner, but in terms of, you know, getting playing time as the third down back, how do you unseat Jeremy McNichols with what he's done the last couple of weeks?
You
I think
don't.
He's done very well. You know, yeah. I think the job should still be his, and that Darrington Evans is going to have to earn his way back, in my opinion.
Darrington Evans has got to prove a whole lot more other than, hey, I'm ready to come back to the practice field before he's going to see any Sunday action anytime soon. Don't you agree?
Yeah, the only way I could see him getting back out there and getting a role would be as the kickoff returner, because they have moved Chester Rogers just to punt returns only, you know, for the most part, I think. He can still do some kickoff return, but I think he's more effective if he only handles one of the duties. So that might be somewhere that Darrington Evans could find a role. But if I'm Todd Downing and Mike Vrabel, Jeremy McNichols has earned his spot, and I'm keeping him out there on third down.
Through 4 weeks, through four games, just sitting here today, the Titans have had zero productivity from their draft picks the last 2 years. Zero. I mean, these guys are just non-existent. Okay? Some of them aren't even here anymore from the last two draft classes. And so with that being said, not that the narrative can't change, not that things won't change, but today, this is what it is. They've had zero production from their draft class the last 2 years. If you had to assess blame and lay it in somebody's lap, is it A, the general manager's lap, John Robinson, B, Mike Vrabel and the coaching staff, or is it truly C, all the above?
It's all the above. I mean, a lot of it's on John Robinson and the coaching staff, I mean, and the scouting staff. Some of it's on Mike Vrabel and the coaching staff. And I think you can kind of forgive some of 2020 because of all the COVID restrictions and the regulations that had to be put into place. And you're starting to see in year two, some of those guys are starting to make contributions, especially Christian Fulton, who's their best cornerback right now. Now, he was hurt, didn't do much last year, but he's really come on in year two. And they're starting. And the other odd part, and I blame this on the fact that they couldn't do a lot of scouting, is that their best contributors from 2020, aside from Christian Fulton thus far, have been the undrafteds that they plucked out of there, not their draft picks. Guys like Nick Westbrook-Akina, Tier Tart, those guys are playing big roles for this team. And then you add in a guy like Tommy Hudson, who has been on the practice squad and now on the active roster. He's giving you a little bit. Aaron Brewer's giving you a little bit. All those guys came in as undrafted rookies, and they've outperformed most of the draft class except for Christian Fulton. Now, the class of 2021, you know, I think there's where, you know, it goes back to the same thing with 2020, where a lot of the problem is they're taking guys, it seems like, and banking on upside. They tried it with Isaiah Wilson. It didn't work because he obviously was not mature enough to handle the rigors of being a professional football player. We saw it with Christian Fulton last year, was injured, didn't get a lot of playing time. Don't know if he would have been ready to do much contributing or not. And you're seeing it now with Caleb Farley, with Dylan Raiden. Those guys are unable to really carve out a role for themselves.
And yet. Elijah Molden.
And Elijah Molden, because they're kind of project players with a lot of upside, especially Raiden and Farley. But they're guys who are going to take some time to develop. I think, you know, they may have fallen too much in love with that process because it worked out so well with Jeffrey Simmons that you take a player who, for one reason or other, whether it's an injury or, you know, anything else that might happen, who's a top 10 talent but falls to you when you're picking there in the late teens, early 20s, things like that. And you gamble that you're getting good value, kind of like finding, you know, something valuable at a yard sale, kind of like finding a Mickey Mantle rookie card for $50 at a yard sale. So it's one of those things where they're going to have to wait on some of these guys to contribute, but I'm not sure that's the right tack that they should have taken, because I think in the second round, knowing that the Isaiah Wilson flameout was already behind them, that instead of taking Dylan Radins and the upside that he might have, they should have taken a plug-and-play player who came from a bigger school, in my opinion.
Yeah, because it's frustrating when you watch these games around the rest of the league, or even if you're watching who the Titans are playing, guess what? They've got rookies out there running around the field, or second-year guys that are contributing and are starters and are logging significant playing time, and you're like, well, why? These other teams are getting production out of their draft picks. Why aren't the Titans?
It's just that. I think they're getting upside, you know, and they're in, you know, that's also, you know, the other end of the equation is this. You know, you look at guys that have been here, some of them have been injured, some of them just weren't as productive as they should have been. You know, you're looking at Jack Conklin, you're looking at Corey Davis, you're looking at Adoree Jackson, you look at all these guys that they have passed on the fifth-year option and wound up not being part of this roster. And, you know, those are guys who are playing elsewhere in the league and doing pretty well in the case of Conklin and Davis, but they're not here. They didn't do enough to earn a second contract here quick enough. You know, had they done what they did in year four, you know, when they were headed out the door in free agency, then they would have earned a second contract here. But through the first 3 years, they didn't contribute enough to merit that, and now they're elsewhere, and they're playing well, which has been another problem for the Titans.
Talking to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. So now the one team's, I'm not going to say trash, it's a salary cap thing, but Stephon Gilmore is now a free agent. Is he somebody that you would make a phone call to if you were John Robinson?
Normally, you know, as I tweeted this morning, you know, I'm against these knee-jerk reaction moves that the Titans need to sign this guy or that guy that just got released by somebody else. But given the shape that their secondary is in, I think they ought to at least make a call and try to kick the tires on Stephon Gilmore and at least see what he looks like, because that's a guy who could be a significant upgrade. I mean, Christian Fulton has done very well. Chris Jackson has done okay in the slot. I've not been impressed with Janoris Jenkins so far. You know, his nickname is Jackrabbit. He looked more like a turtle getting beat the other day. I just have not been impressed with his play thus far. So I think if you could get a guy like Gilmore in here and get him a look-see, I'd be all for it.
And what do we have with Jackson in terms of the injury? That's another thing.
Exactly.
Is he is what you hope to be, a serviceable guy, like you were saying. But so he's not a superstar, but he's serviceable. And but you might not even have him. That's another reason where you might go down the Gilmore road just to take a look.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Because I think Elijah Molden showed in the first two games that he's really not ready for
such
a big assignment as being the nickelback.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So I think they should definitely take a look. And you know, I originally was like, okay, you cut Janoris Jenkins, but maybe if he's in the right role, do you view it that way, that it's almost like a Jonathan Joseph situation where he's playing a role he wasn't meant to play, and so therefore it's too much for him?
I don't know that I'd go there, but I think when they signed him, I think they felt that they were getting a guy who maybe was similar to Malcolm Butler, a guy who was going to take some chances, a guy who was going to make some plays, but occasionally give up a big play, then shake it off and come back to play again. But thus far, we've not seen very many plays made by him. We've seen him, you know, get beat a couple of times. You know, to me, you know, he's a guy that is kind of, if I'm the coaching staff, if I'm Shane Bowen, I'm kind of putting him on notice to say, hey, we need you to pick it up.
With the offensive line, we discussed this the other day. I feel like Taylor Lewan is certainly not the same since the ACL, and I actually feel that they could move on from him after this year just because it would be very cheap to do so with that contract. Ben Jones, I don't think there's much left in the tank. As much as I love Ben Jones, you can just tell. And so, therefore, that's hurting the guards. And then they still can't figure out right tackle. Do you agree with my assessment? And how do you try and patchwork that thing together for the rest of the year?
Well, there's not a lot of options when you look at it. I mean, they've got to have LaJuan, you know, try to bounce back as he gets further removed from the knee surgery and what all that entails. They've got to have him try and, you know, they may have to give him some help with some chips and some double teams and things like that with a tight end. But then you got the problem on the right side where David Quisenberry was kind of a turnstile on Sunday. And, you know, you may have to plug in Ty Sambrio or Kendall Lamb there, but neither of those guys look like they've been any great shakes either. You know, the place that concerns me, too, is the fact that Roger Saffold and Ben Jones seem to be continually dinged up and can't get healthy. I mean, there's really not anyone on this offensive line right now that you could count on and say, this guy's going to get the job done. And there are really not a lot of replacements in the chute to plug in and play for those guys because we've seen, you know, how it's gone with some of the guys that have gone in there, and the results have not been great.
Terry McCormick is with us, and Terry, all of these things we're talking about seem to put more heat on Derrick Henry, where he is having to almost elevate all of these things, and I hate to use the word workload issue or the words workload issue, but it's just, you can't ignore it, right? There, you can't go to this well too many times, but they're sort of forced to.
They are sort of forced to. I mean, you would have thought that the games against the Jets and this upcoming game against the Jaguars would have been games where you could limit him, maybe have 20 carries instead of 30. To try and save him for the stretch run that you're going to need him for in November and December, and then they hope in January for the playoffs. But right now, with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones out, the pass game is a shell of itself. It's not up to where it needs to be. So you're forced to use Derrick Henry just because, you know, he's your main weapon and he's your guy that everything runs through. To me, going back to the offensive line for just a minute, it's strange to me that the offensive line looks fine in run blocking, because Derrick Henry's been getting yards ever since the opener when the Cardinals held him down. The three games after that, he's been getting yards like crazy, over 100 yards each week. And you would think that would help set up things in the pass game for play action, but it hasn't worked because the offensive line's been so porous.
It has been a problem. And another thing that's happening is, as we know, Ryan Tannehill is taking a lot of hits. So, you know, one thing that dawns on me, Terry, is what I've seen them do a lot. They're using, I don't know if it's a lot more than they have in the past, but they're still using a lot of multi-tight end sets to try to keep those extra blockers in there, give different looks. But there's a lot of station to station in the passing game right now, because some of those guys, they don't get downfield very much. It's a lot of 6 to 8 yard little hitches. And when you couple that with the fact that A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are out, there's really nobody that the defense respects to stretch the field. And it may be like that for another week or two, it looks like.
Yeah, that's a problem. And the other problem is that these other guys either don't create the separation that Brown and Jones do, or they haven't earned Tannehill's trust for him to make a tight window throw. I think he's fine throwing to Julio Jones with a man draped all over him in coverage. I'm not sure he's fine throwing to Josh Reynolds or Nick Westbrook with somebody draped all over them, knowing that they might make the play. Or worse yet, that, you know, if it gets picked off or something. So I think that Tannehill's trying to be as careful as he can, you know, with the weapons that he has. But I think it's going to take at least one of Brown or Jones coming back in order for this offense to regain the explosiveness that it had.
I thought that's a good observation. Thinking back to the Jets game, they did give Reynolds a chance a couple times, and he had the one-on-one where they threw it up to him, and, you know, it was too bad. I really would have liked to have seen him seize that chance, or even Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, who I thought maybe had another level. This would be a good opportunity for him, but they weren't able to beat the Jets' corners, who are young, lower-round picks. You know, you would think that maybe that was a good matchup, and obviously Ryan Tannehill did. And those were the two guys he gave some chances to down the field where they didn't get a lot of efficiency.
Yeah, but and, you know, there was one play. It would have been a tough catch, but I would like to see Reynolds make that catch in the end zone. I think it was on the first drive. And you'd like to see him come away with that football, because you feel confident that in a similar situation that Julio Jones or A.J. Brown probably makes that catch. And the other ball, too, that I think really would have been a tough play, but would have been a really a play that should have been made, was the ball in overtime down the seam to Firkser that could have set them up with a first and goal had he caught it.
Terry, real quick on the way out, is Randy Bullock going to be is Sam Ficken close, or what's his status? What do we know on him?
Well, all the injury issues are cloaked in secrecy over there. It's like getting information from the KGB. So, you know, we really don't know what Sam Ficken's status is. I think, you know, Randy Bullock is probably your guy for the time being. You know, and to me, they have more important items of business. They got to get Brett Kern back.
Yeah.
Because Brett Kern is an integral part of what they do. You saw it with Johnny Townsend's 15-yard punt, just how valuable Brett Kern is to this roster.
I think it was 12, so I wouldn't don't give him the extra 3 yards. It is amazing, right? Every time Kern misses, how big of a disaster punting looks like without Brett Kern.
Sure.
It's crazy.
And don't forget too that he's the holder on the field goal kick.
Right.
So
yep.
That may have played a role in Bullock's miss as well.
Yeah, I think Bullock's been fine. I'm with you. Like, they got way more pressing issues than worrying about, you know, like, if this is what Bullock is, like, I'm okay. Like, this is – they went into the season, they've changed kickers about 5 times, and if this is what you end up with and this is what he's going to be, I think you're getting the most out of the investment you made, which was virtually nothing. You just plucked a guy off the street. I'm fine with his production thus far. I don't think there's any rush to get Sam Ficken back. To me, like, Randy Bullock is the guy, and they got bigger problems than who's kicking right now.
I agree.
Until he misses about 4 in a row, then we got huge issues. Terry, thanks for the visit. As always, really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk soon.
All right, see you.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com is where you can find his work. I want to talk to you about DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. And listen to this. They've got a Week 5 offer that every football fan should jump on ASAP. All new customers, listen up. You can bet just $1 on any NFL game this week and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Yes, if either team scores a point. The last time there was a 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943. That was even before Kentucky went 6-0. Last time Kentucky football went 6-0 was 1950. Last time the NFL had a 0-0 tie, 1943. So I would say that's a no-brainer. DraftKings customers can also get skin in the game with new same-game parlays, combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Remember, all you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that promo code 1025GAME and just bet $1 on any NFL game to win $100 of free bets if either team scores a point. Use that promo code again, 1025GAME, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.